day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
All right. Oh, gee, that's a surprise. I just looked up at my screen and it's a gentleman I'm really happy to be able to talk to about, well, various developments. Which one do we go to first? All right. This has been front and centre yesterday. There's been quite an emotional outburst, and you might have heard the Prime Minister this morning saying, how the hell has this been allowed to get decided upon by the United Nations when this particular sector of the United Nations, this particular committee, is headed by China? What are those? Oh, the Great Barrier Reef's going to be declared in danger. It's on its last legs. Now, people who've been around the tourism industry for a while know that what does that do? What does it transmit to the rest of the world? Despite some discussions had on this program yesterday, I think most people agree that it says, oh, don't go to the Great Barrier Reef. If it's in danger, it's going to be, well, a lesser experience than what it was. Now, just briefly, this goes back to yesterday's Cairns Post. The Far North's leaders are fearing the spread of misinformation following a United Nations report recommending the Great Barrier Reef be listed as in danger. Now, the World Heritage Committee, this is the United Nations, here we go again, World Heritage Committee draft decision said, the committee noted with utmost concern that despite positive achievements, progress in protecting the reef had been insufficient in meeting key targets, particularly in relation to water quality. Estimated, this is well, I think madness. It's estimated that any downgrading of the reef status would threaten the 64,000 jobs, $6.4 billion in tourism revenue. Hear that? $6,400 million in tourism revenue. And look what tourism has just been through. Linked to the natural wonder in a normal year, causing grave concerns among local leaders. I won't go on with all the details. I quote here Camp Charlton, Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, saying the recommendation did not paint the full picture. So, anyway, there you've got it. I'm going to talk now with independent scientist, marine geophysicist, formerly JCU Townsville, and a contributor to this program over some extended period of time, Peter Ridd. Good morning.
Morning.
It's so good to be able to talk to you today. How did you receive this information, this decision from the United Nations Committee headed by China?
Well, completely unsurprised, because one of the things that's often missed here is that the ammunition that the Chinese government is using is all provided by the Australian taxpayer through the untrustworthy science institutions who have been providing this data, which is just basically not correct. So there is no significant problem with water quality on the Great Barrier Reef. The Chinese are using that because various organisations, scientific organisations, have been sowing this over decades. So we're basically reaping what we have sowed.
And there you've got it. Of course, people are sitting at home saying, oh, we remember the $443 million. We remember this huge amount of money handed over, annual financial grants, etc., largely and almost exclusively funded by the Australian taxpayer. You can imagine some of the sentiment that was expressed around this city yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just think what the cane farmers and the cattle farmers are thinking about this. Because, in fact, there is no pesticide residue that gets out onto the Great Barrier Reef. When the scientists actually try to measure it, it is so low they can't even measure it, even with the most accurate scientific equipment. But yet, when they manage to write their reports, and these are Australian government authority reports, they still go on about the problems of water quality. All that's happened here is the Chinese government has taken a free kick at us because we've actually provided them with the ammunition.
How do these scientists gather the information that is seemingly so critical of what's happening here in Australia? There was commentary yesterday, oh, they need to get out there, they need to get underwater, stop getting information from, I don't know, above the water planes, whatever, if they're gathering it. How is this information collated? And in your view, how does it become so, well, seemingly inaccurate?
Well, in most cases, it's collected quite properly. For instance, the pesticide stuff is collected quite properly. But it's when you actually look at the data, that's when they misinterpret it, they exaggerate it, and just get it completely wrong. For example, if you look at the latest coral cover statistic that's come from Ames, the supposedly, you know, the huge decrease in coral cover that occurred from the 2016 bleaching event up around Cooktown, Lizard Island, it's completely recovered in less than 5 years. the Townsville region has got more coral now, or almost a record amount of coral now over the 35 years that records have begun. So there's incredibly large amounts of very solid data that show quite unequivocally that the reef is actually in very good shape. But the science authorities managed to twist this. They talk about risk. They use sort of weasel words in their reports, which can often be misinterpreted, I sometimes think deliberately. What we end up with is this impression that the whole world has got that the reef is completely knackered. And it's just it's a terrible thing. And what the government now has got to do is focus in on our own scientific institutions to make sure they are producing reliable science that won't be misinterpreted by people like the Chinese government.
Now, this is a tricky one, and particularly, I guess, even for you, even though you've been battling for a couple of years on this front. People out here, ordinary people in the streets, say, I've been out there, it's in terrific. I got reports last week, and they said it went, and the people that came from America expecting it to be on its last leg said it's magnificent. If indeed there's a picture being spread worldwide that's the opposite of the case, that it's on its last legs, what's the motivation for people who are spreading that information that many people feel is misinformation, to say the least?
Well, I think some of it is not a bad motivation. You have marine biologists who, you know, they love their subject, they're worried about it. Occasionally the reef does go through cycles of massive death where, you know, a cyclone will wipe out the coral. And they worry about it like you worry about your children, you know. So it's partly that, but there are other more, perverse sort of incentives like the funding. That can actually have an effect on some scientists, not the great majority. Mm. The great majority, I think, are usually doing it for the right reasons. But there are various problems there. But the biggest problem is there's no quality assurance system in the writing of these reports. And this is what I'm saying. The state and federal governments really need to get in their quality assurance systems.
Now, can I ask you this one? Don't forget, I'm a lay person like lots of people listening, and we hear on, you know, just the weather report, someone will come on and say, oh, we've got the latest information on global warming, and in the 200 years since it's all started, we've actually seen a rise of 1.5 degrees Celsius or whatever. Is it possible that such rises, whether you consider that huge or minuscule, is it possible that the barrier reef could proceed through the next 50 or even 100 years or whatever and still be existing in a reasonably healthy state, Peter Ridd?
I think it's almost certain that it will. I mean, the Great Barrier Reef region might have had a half a degree increase in temperature over the last 100 years, right? There's no way half a degree increase is going to have any significant effect on the coral. And the tropical regions will, even in under the worst case scenarios, will not have a huge increase in temperature. And I don't particularly believe most of these predictions anyway, but even under the worst case predictions, it won't go up that much. And remember that there's much more prolific coral, ironically, to the north of us in Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, where the water is 1 or 2 degrees hotter, and it actually grows much more quickly there because the water is warmer. So no, I don't accept these predictions.
I actually cheered Warren Entsch a couple of nights ago. He came on television commenting on this United Nations Committee decision, the committee headed by China, and he said, tell them to come out here and put their heads underwater and have a look. And I thought that sums up what locals are believing about this situation more and more every day. Go out there and just have a look at the glory of it.
But also tell that to our Premier and our Prime Minister. Come and have a look. And, you know, this is what we need to do. Don't necessarily believe what you're told by your own institutions about the reef, because I keep on coming back to this. This is what we have done to ourselves because we're given the ammunition from our science institutions.
Peter, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask you this question. The High Court proceedings, any updates there?
Well, we were in the High Court yesterday. If you remember, I was fired for saying we need better quality assurance of Great Barrier Reef science because of exactly what's happened. I mean, it's quite ironic that this happened. We were in the High Court yesterday. We had a good hearing. We're hopeful. We've now got a 2 or 3 month wait to see what the outcome will be.
Oh, really? No more attendance in court for 3 months?
No, they go off and do their job. These judgments they write are sort of, you know, 100 pages long of legalese. They really do go into it in a great deal of detail. It takes them a while. But we had a good hearing. Our lawyers did a fabulous job. We've had, I don't know whether you know, we've had literally 6,000 or 8,000 donations. Mm. We raised about $1.5 million to get our legal fees. We, Cheryl and I, had to donate about $300,000 of our own. Yeah. But it's all over now. We've just got to wait and see.
Well, I've got to say, every time you come on this program, we get overwhelmed with support calls and messages. So congratulations on the battle you're putting up. And hopefully we'll speak again soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Peter Ridd there, the independent scientist these days, marine geophysicist, formerly at JCU Townsville.